Go back to 1990 and the lead up to the first war in the Gulf in Iraq. No war for oil. Remember the protests? Oil has been in the background all along in Iraq, right through the second U.S.-led war there, and again now as insurgents take over large parts of the country. But today, oil was front and center in the battle for Iraq. The Sunni militant group ISIS attacked the country's largest refinery. Meanwhile, the Iraqi government has formally asked the U.S. to launch airstrikes against the insurgents. That's one of the many options that President Obama is considering. We'll hear more about that in just a bit. First, though, to northern Iraq. Richard Spencer is there reporting for the Daily Telegraph. I asked him earlier today for an update on the latest fighting between ISIS and the Iraqi government.
There's action all over Iraq at the moment, as far as we can work out. There's a government fight back in the town of Tal Afar, or at least that's what they tell us. It's a long way away from where I am now, but I've had a reporter near there who says there's still fighting going on in Tal Afar, which is up near the Syrian border. Then there's fighting down in the area just north and northeast of Baghdad as well, where ISIS made gains but were held up in the last couple of days by some pretty desperate fighting by the Iraqis and some Kurdish elements as well supporting them.
I mean, this sounds like war. I mean, considering the National Army has been melting away, have they kind of regrouped at this point? Are they showing some mettle?
Yeah, it seems that there are some units that have not caved in. The majority, as we know, of these units that were defending heavily Sunni towns like Mosul and Tikrit just sort of threw down their weapons, threw down their uniforms and ran. But there are a couple of sort of more elite units. There's a unit, the 17th Brigade of the 4th Division, as I'm told, is defending this oil refinery in the town of Baiji, Iraq's biggest oil refinery. It's completely surrounded by the insurgents, but it has a Kurdish general, and these Kurdish fighters have a somewhat better reputation than the Iraqi army themselves. It's holding out. It's being heavily attacked, but it is holding out. So yeah, there's still a lot of fighting spirit in some of these guys.
And this attack on this oil refinery, are you spotting that as a trend? Or are these Sunni radicals of ISIS kind of going after oil interests?
Well, that's a very interesting point. I mean, it's something we noticed in Syria, neighboring Syria. ISIS really defended strongly ISIS, who sort of took control of much of northern Syria. Then there was this fight back by other rebel groups. And the places that they sort of coalesced around and are still defending are the areas of northeast Syria where there are oil fields. They're a very canny organization, ISIS. They were selling oil when I was in northeast Syria last year. They were already selling oil on the market there to locals. They were refining it themselves. And according to Western intelligence, they were also selling it, oddly enough, back to the Syrian regime, that they have a deal with the Syrian regime to keep the oil running in return for some share of the profits. It's quite incredible, really. But this is how ISIS is so successful.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Let's talk about what they actually want, this group ISIS. They've said they want an Islamic caliphate across the region. What does it actually mean for people who live under their rule?
Well, that is a very good question, you know, and it's a very it's in some ways, when it comes to Iraq, it's the key question. In Syria, you have a very clear dividing line now between areas of northern Syria that are under the control of this group, ISIS, this very hardline, aggressive, militant Islamist group that is demanding that all women wear niqab, you know, the face veil, not just hijab, the headscarf, implementing this very harsh form of sort of militant Sharia law where they're cutting off people's hands for theft. They've, on a number of occasions now in Syria, they've executed people for various alleged crimes and then, as they say, crucified them. They've hung up their dead bodies in public places in a cruciform position. I mean, it is really quite disturbing to watch. And of course, many of the people living there are very upset about it. Now, in Iraq, it's somewhat different at the moment in that they've formed this alliance with Sunni tribal leaders, with former members of Saddam Hussein's army, his Ba'athist party. And a lot of people coming away from those areas that we're speaking to are saying they're very happy with this Sunni uprising. They wanted to get rid of this Shia government of Iraq. Of course, what we don't know is how that will play out, whether there will be then clashes within this movement, this alliance, or whether they've come to a deal that some form of maybe slightly more moderate Islamism will be put in place in return for continuing support from the Sunni tribes.
The Daily Telegraph's Richard Spencer speaking with us from Erbil in northern Iraq.